Guys, don't be strangers. The call-in number, 801-254-5855. Now, we're going to continue the discussion. You guys can keep calling in, but I'm going to go to Connor Boyack. It is Tuesday. It is actually after 2:30. I'm sorry for the delay, but this is a hot topic. Connor, hey, how are you, man?
I'm doing, Jake. I'm doing good, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So you had a controversial title for today's segment. What is that?
I argue and believe, and it carries the topic on that we've been doing so far. I've been listening in that the Supreme Court should actually uphold Obamacare. That's what I'm angling for.
Oh,
I hope
no.
They do it.
Oh, no. Okay, so now you got about a minute to tease it. What is the gist of your argument? And then we do have a line of callers, so let's bring them in and we'll both tag team here. So what's your argument?
Yes, that sounds good. The argument which supports my argument, the argument that supports my thesis that the Supreme Court should uphold Obamacare, is that yes, I agree that Obamacare is unconstitutional, specifically the individual mandate, which is the subject of the court case that's being heard right now at the United States Supreme Court. However, I'm hopeful that the judges will uphold the constitutionality, because I think that result would anger so many conservatives and constitutionalists and libertarians that they would begin to look for alternatives to get the law overturned. And it is those alternatives that I think are more reasonable, are more effective, and are more legitimate and worthy of our support, namely the states fighting back, the states using interposition and nullification and completely refusing to comply with an unconstitutional federal mandate. This has happened historically, it's happened recently, it's happened by no name or the name of nullification, but that is the avenue I think that we need to go and where we can get a lot more support. And ultimately, that would leave the question of a bill or a law's constitutionality in the hands not of a few elite judges, but in the hands of the many, that we, the people, could be able to cast our determination through our state legislatures and the governor to be able to say, we disagree with this law, we think it's unconstitutional, therefore we will not comply.
So you actually don't, you don't agree with Obamacare, but you're rooting for it because you think that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel back. I mean, is that
I'm
right?
I'm rooting for the court to uphold it to show people that the court is not the final arbiter of the Constitution.
Awesome.
We need to rely on the state.
All right, guys, so that is the point. Now, that is a brilliant point. I like that point a lot. We've kind of touched on it, but we're going to go more into depth now with Connor. Connor knows his thing. He's the head of the Utah 10th Amendment Center. Come on back, guys. AM 630, K-Talk, the voice of Utah.
I say hello.
All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self-Defense Radio. I am Jake Shannon. We're in the middle of the Boyack Review. We got Connor Boyack talking about states' rights with regards to this abomination, this Obamacare. Now, that kind of leads me in one direction. And then, you know, I want to ask you a question, your perspective in your role as head of the Utah 10th Amendment Center and that kind of stuff. What about the argument that, oh, there is a big difference between Romney Care because it's done at the state level versus Obamacare?
Oh, it's a horrible argument. In principle, they're the same. People often, especially conservatives, you know, often believe, well, the federal government's not allowed to do it because of the Constitution, and rightly so. They're correct in that. They're incorrect, however, in believing that simply because the federal government is not able to do something that the states are. We need to remember how it is that the federal government is able to do what it does. That is through delegated powers, enumerated delegated powers in the Constitution. People believe that in the absence of any power delegated to the federal government, that the state retains that power. We need to remember what the 10th Amendment says, though, to the states or to the people, right? The state governments do not have somehow this implicit moral authority to do anything they want that they're not prohibited from doing in the Constitution, and that they haven't delegated that power to the federal government. State governments only can morally act in the same way when they are delegated powers by the people who comprise those several states. That is not a principle that's been understood and enforced to anywhere close to the degree that it should by the individuals living in the several states, because we seem to embrace all sorts of tyranny at the state or local level. We rightly understand, many of us, that the Constitution is the just most minimum litmus test for what the federal government does. But conservatives and people of all political stripes lack that political understanding to have a similar litmus test at the state level. Romney Care and Obamacare are in so many ways the same. Yes, it was done at the state level in Massachusetts. Romney Care was. That does not mean that just because it was at the state level, it's okay. Where does Massachusetts derive the codified, delegated authority from its citizens to mandate the purchase of health care? They don't. They claim that authority. They usurp that authority. They were not delegated that authority. So just as we oppose Obamacare on constitutional grounds, similarly can Romneycare be opposed because they lack, that state lacks the authority to do that.
Yep, I agree. Now, we've actually got Brandon in Orem. He wants to get in on the debate about the differences between auto insurance, mandatory auto insurance, and this Obamacare or Romneycare, whatever. Brandon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
So what's the point you want to make, Brandon?
I wanted to make the point that when you get auto insurance for the roads, for example, you're just providing an agreement that you are willing, in case of an accident, you are willing to provide liability to the other person. It's not insurance for yourself. It's merely an agreement between all the drivers on the road. So
okay.
It comes from a whole different perspective.
Well, and not only that, you could just not drive. I mean,
exactly.
You can't not live. That's not a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, anything else you want to add, Brandon?
Just that. I just thought even the insurance debate with the car insurance was just missing the main point.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is everybody's like, well, you use the roads, you like the roads. Well, you know how we got these roads? It was a war powers thing. I think it was Eisenhower instituted the federal interstate system under the guise of interstate, under war powers, to say, oh, we need this distribution system to, in case we get bombed or whatever. And I'm sorry, you can't do that with a war on health care. I mean, it was unconstitutional what Eisenhower did, too. Two wrongs don't make a right, you know?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, I appreciate the call, man.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Connor, what do you make of that debate between auto insurance and the Obamacare or Romneycare?
Well, and again, many people make these comparisons, right? Some of them are more apt than others. I think that Brandon's suggestion or what he'd noted is exactly right. But we strain to make these comparisons of what is or is not similar, Romneycare and Obamacare, or what is different. Car insurance versus Obamacare. I mean, I see that all as irrelevant in so many questions. That it's not, is Obamacare similar to Romneycare, or is it different from car insurance or property insurance or, you know, whatever. The question is Obamacare right? That is the central question of the conversation on your show today, of the issue before the court, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, that they're going to be deciding upon in June. It doesn't need to be compared to anything else. The question is, does the federal government have the authority to do this at all? Not that is it worse than doing it at a state level, or is it better than doing it this, that, or the other way? And the question, I think, so many of your listeners are going to agree that Obamacare is wrong. It is unconstitutional. At a minimum, constitutionally, it should be taken back to the states. But even then, that doesn't necessarily give every state, you know, justification for doing it. The question that I'm most concerned with on this issue and so many others is what to do about it. How is the remedy provided? How do you oppose it? And my problem with looking to the Supreme Court, first of all, what is the court? The court is just a bunch of lawyers in black robes. Right? I mean, these are guys who are part of the system that they are now overseeing. To the degree that they are themselves a branch of the federal government that they are trying, supposedly going to impose a check upon. Now, sometimes they do. Sometimes you get good lawyers, good judges who will rule in favor of the states and the people and against the federal government. Recently, we had the awesome EPA case that was brought before the Supreme Court, and they ruled unanimously in favor of the property owners and against the EPA, who were trying to basically tax them to death and take away their land, classifying it as a wetland. So,
yeah. Tom Garrison brought that up in his report yesterday about the Institute for Justice really being pivotal. Again, a libertarian organization being pivotal.
Yeah, and they were a great help. So there are victories. There are circumstances in which the court does rule in our favor. But historically, overwhelmingly, the court votes to justify the tyranny and the usurpation of federal powers that were not delegated in the Constitution. So I really oppose people hoping and desiring that we can get a 5-4 split and we can get the best judges in there. It's a game. It's a charade. They're a bunch of lawyers. It's their opinion, for crying out loud. We rightly call their decisions opinions.
Yeah.
It is just that. It is an opinion. The question is, where is the more effective remedy? Many of the founders concluded and ardently believed that the check and the real remedy was at the state level, that as compacts to the Constitution, the individual states, through their legislatures and their governors, could oppose and provide a check for the federal government along the terms of the Constitution. That is what we've largely lost. Not totally. We've had a lot of nullification interposition, especially in the past few years. But we need to restore the notion that that is the proper and most effective way of doing it. And I think if the court were to rule in favor of Obamacare and uphold the individual mandate, it would get a lot more people looking into nullification, realizing that they can fight back through their states and that they can and should apply political pressure through that avenue.
And there's a lot of things. So, yeah, you bring up the point of nullification, interposition, those kind of arguments, which, again, are great and not used enough. But, you know, that also brings to the point, like you talked about opinions, that these are interpretations of a document. And as such, humans make these opinions, and they are prone to error sometime. And we have this weird thing in this country, and it's kind of a problem with common law, to be honest, where precedent can set in motion these things, and we don't have enough judicial review. Right? I mean, what was it Milton Friedman said? There's nothing as permanent as a temporary government program. The problem is we just keep adding this stuff and it never goes away.
Well, and yeah, it is opinion. They do set precedents. I love what President Andrew Jackson once was supposed to have said, that, you know, the Supreme Court offered an opinion. I think it was in Worcester versus Georgia, if I remember right. But there was a court case where the John Marshall Supreme Court ruled a certain way, and President Jackson allegedly said, John Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. And I love that, because the president is the executive officer. He is bound to the terms of the Constitution. Few presidents, of course, have abided by the terms
Very
of their
few.
Oath of office. But still, it shows that there's a delineation of power, and the court has no enforcement ability. Not only can the president decline to enforce whatever their opinion is, but Congress, through legislation, can change the subject matter jurisdiction of the court, right? Especially with abortion, for example. All these conservatives are up in arms about abortion, but they held the federal government between 2000 and 2006, and through a simple legislative act, simple majority in Congress, they could have completely taken away from the Supreme Court the ability to even hear anything having to do with abortion, thus immediately pushing it down to the state level. So there are other remedies. People think that these you know, they deify these justices on the court, at least the ones they agree with, right? And I think we need to pull that back, scale that back, and say these are just lawyers, right? Jefferson said,
I mean, Darth Vader wore a black robe too,
yeah.
Right?
How good was he?
Hold on just a sec, Connor. I want to get to Rob. He's been patiently holding.
Sure.
I think Rob seems to think he has the solution to our problem. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, how's it going, my friend?
Good.
The simple solution. Everyone pays for their own health care, period.
I don't get what's so crazy about that.
I don't either. I don't know why we're being forced. My question is, does the federal government have the right to force me to pay for the health care of the military, for the health care of the police force? I just don't understand where everyone thinks that this is just okay to do. I don't get it. You would see the price of healthcare drop dramatically if everyone had to pull the money out of their own pockets and generate that money to pay for that.
Well,
you would see some scrutiny on the price of healthcare.
This is why I think a two-payer system works awesome, where he who pays the piper calls the tune. The patient pays the doctor, because then the doctor's going to care about the patient. Instead of the HMO, or instead of the PPO, or instead of these government-propped-up fake corporate entities. But the two individuals contract, and that works.
I mean,
Jake, along with that line, along with the contract, the terms of the contract need to be understood. It's like you go to the grocery store, you know how much you're paying for the milk. You can weigh the prices between different brands. We need disclosure. We need to require that the terms of those contracts, the prices, be shown up front so people can shop around. That will reintroduce competition,
Connor,
and drive down prices.
You nailed it. That's the whole purpose of this show, and it drives from Adam Smith and the foundations, very foundations of economics. And
have
economy,
a great day, guys.
Okay, hey, I appreciate the call, buddy.
You betcha.
All right, the whole root base of a free market, a true free market, not this corporate nonsense, a free market base, it works because you have two things: rational actors making informed decisions. And that's it. And we have to, without force, without the government making it so, because they'll create their own propaganda. It's not going to be information. It's going to be pro-government propaganda. But that's what this show is about, helping people become more rational and to make informed decisions so we can get back to a free market, especially in healthcare.
I love how we have the whole natural, organic food movement is just exploding, and people are demanding better labeling. They want to know what's in the food they're eating. They want to know what's genetically modified. It's
yes.
That same principle that needs to be applied to things like healthcare. Obamacare would be completely irrelevant if we would reintroduce basic market principles that within a few years would radically alter the system, would reinvigorate what doctors are able to do in terms of price affordability and level of care, and we'd see a lot of the complaints just completely wash away. We're getting so troubled with the wrong questions. We're getting tied up in all these emotion arguments about Obamacare. You had a caller earlier that was saying, oh, my family needs the preventive care provisions and all this stuff. As long as we kind of dangle on these emotional-related issues, we're going to be justifying tyranny. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the market principles that you just enunciated. And really, the questions of Obamacare, I think, become largely irrelevant. At a minimum, it's done at the state level. We would lack the drive and the passion for people to be pushing for federal legislation.
Yeah, and I can't agree more. I just hope that we can get this bullhorn going so people wake up to this. I know you're doing a tremendous amount of stuff, not only writing books, your other ventures, with the billboards and that kind of thing. But this is just craziness that people keep falling for the most basic logical fallacy in our political and moral system, and that is the false alternative. Choices between Romney and Obama or Obamacare and Romney care. It's not. There's so many more things on the menu.
It's true. And that exactly relates to a point regarding the Obamacare discussion that I wanted to bring up. There's a great quote from Thomas Jefferson that says something like, in terms of confidence of men, let nothing more be said than to bind him down with the chains of the Constitution, right? It's a fairly familiar quote. Let's bind these politicians down with the chains of the Constitution. My question is, who's doing the binding? Should it be an elite few judges on the Supreme Court that can somehow supposedly bind by the Constitution an entire cadre of bureaucrats and legislators at the federal level? Or should these questions of constitutionality be determined by the many? By the many through the state legislatures and through the governors and through the several states that we have, I think that these issues are going to be solved a lot more as they have been. We've had a lot of pushback with Real ID and the marijuana laws and the TSA and the commerce and the food and all this stuff. States have been fighting back. I think we need more of it, and I think if the Supreme Court upholds Obamacare with this mandate, we're going to see even more of it, which is better for the cause of liberty in the long term.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. I really hope so. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens here after this 3-day review. Man, this country's it's upside down. I feel like I live in a bizarro world or something. But Connor, appreciate the segment. Good stuff. As always, see you next Tuesday.